So, I mean, do you think there's a mechanism where venetoclax could increase the risk of death? Or do you think it's a trial random thing?
No, I do have two good hypotheses. One is mostly as a lesson for people when, how is it possible that a drug can have higher response rate, better progression-free survival, and yet have worse survival? That can happen only with two reasons. One is the drug is actually toxic, and so it's helping, let's say, 10% of patients, but it's harming 20% of patients. Then you're going to end up with more deaths. Even though you've helped the 10 patients, they are different than the 20% that it harmed, and you don't know who's who. The other hypothesis is that venetoclax might be, it looks like it's causing some responses, but actually having a very different effect on the biology of the plasma cells, so that it almost acts like a fertilizer, so that a subset of patients relapse with really aggressive disease biology. I think the metaphors are the easiest way to explain this. A drug can do this if it is either a double-edged sword or a wolf in sheep's clothing. A double-edged sword means it helps some, but it hurts some, and you have no idea who. And if it's hurting more people than it's helping, you're going to have more deaths. In which case, studies have to really look at, can we identify who is it helping, and then try not to give it to the people it's hurting, okay? And just focus on the people it's helping. So that could be the 11-14 subset, maybe some other subset. That's one.
Although it's kind of hard to figure out how venetoclax could have that kind of lethal effect, but.
It could be because of the combination in which it was used. It could be because without a randomized controlled trial, you really don't know. My thinking is that it's unlikely to be a double-edged sword, because if you look at the trial, the rate of infections in both arms were identical. The rate of pneumonias in both arms were identical. The rate of severe adverse events were identical. So it didn't look like it was an exceedingly toxic drug. So I don't think. The other hypothesis is that it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. A wolf in sheep's clothing means you think it's helping. After all, why do we think it's helping? Because some patients are stable, some patients, the M protein's going down. But that doesn't mean it's actually helping. It could be actually aggravating the disease biology in a subset. If venetoclax, for example, is helping the 11-14 patients, but it's transforming the biology of the non-11-14 patients to become a more aggressive disease biology, some immune manipulation, something that it's doing to the other cells, it may be associated with a very, very aggressive relapse that is hard to control when the disease does come back. And so you think you're helping, you go along for a while, except you didn't realize that you've just changed the disease biology on a subset of patients enough to cause excess deaths.
What was the combination?
It's venetoclax, bortezomib dex versus bortezomib dex.
So, no chance this is just a statistical fluke?
No, not when you have 22% versus 11% for death rate. That's a significant amount of deaths that are different between the two arms. It was statistically significant. And I mean, if you look at the curves, the deaths started occurring right from the beginning. Right from the beginning, the curves went down. And so this is really, like in my mind, it's important to find out what is the mechanism, because it is a good drug. And if we find out that this will not happen if we focus only on the 11-14 patients and only continue the drug if they are getting a response, that's what I think would be the most conservative thing to do. Treat the 11-14 patients. If they get a response within 3 months, then continue the therapy. If the patients are not responding within 3 months, stop it. If the patients are not 11-14, don't even entertain this drug until we have an additional randomized trial or more data on it. That's the way I'm thinking about venetoclax for right now.